Good morning and happy new year.
Happy new year.
This morning we're a man down. Our bro from another mo, they've lost his mom, and Larry Barnes and family know that y'all are in our prayers and definitely. In our thoughts, and with it there, you already know. We don't even, it goes without us even saying, but no, we're going to miss your dialogue this morning. But he lost his mom on yesterday, and we know how we understand. We get it. 120% we get it. Yeah. But you know, just know we're here for you guys in any capacity. We're here. Love you, Barbara. You know we're going to miss you, girl. But yeah. You know, you were loved.
Definitely.
And still are loved, so.
No doubt.
But outside of that, how was, New Year's? Everybody, what y'all do to bring New Year's in?
Oh, I'm starting? I don't normally get to start. Oh, okay.
Well, because Chris looked like he done forgot his position. One person leave, nobody remember nothing. Oh.
I mean, I know my position. Normally, I'm...
You last, I know, but I just looked at you because I glanced at Chris and he was looking
coolest. But I was getting ready to say,
well, you need to be ready. Be ready.
It was New Year's. It was good. I drank me
It's a regular day in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a regular day because...
It's a new...
Resort drinking is different than drinking at the house.
But he didn't resort drink.
Glenn Levitt 12.
He that drank at home. Delicious. He was still detoxing from the
good God, yes. Yeah.
So how was your trip? Because you gotta tell us
it
about
was
your
good.
Trip.
It was very good. It was very good.
He doesn't remember half of it because he was liberated the whole time.
No, yeah. Something was a blur. But no, it was good. R&R, you know, Jamaica was lovely.
Did you ever actually make it outside of the room, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to go get some more fresh towels.
But it was good, though. The food was delicious.
What do you remember of it?
Man. Yeah.
All he remembers eating was French fries. That's the main food you drink when you're drunk.
No. But to be honest, I was like, man, I wish I had some wings to go with this liquor.
Oh, what? They didn't have wings there?
No.
Really?
No.
Like no jerk wings?
No jerk wings. You can get jerk chicken, stuff like that, but yeah. 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 It was nice, though. They didn't have, like, as many, like walk-up, like, restaurants where you could just grab something and just take it, like, back to the room or something like that.
Had to sit and get it cooked or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So I utilized the room service.
I ain't think I'm going to be here another 15, 20 minutes, yo, man. I got to go upstairs.
Shit. I was in and out. Go to the bar. Every bar knew who I was, and they knew what I was drinking, so...
Tyra probably just put that shirt, shirt on you to say, if you see him, please return him to room such and such.
But no, I mean that's every place I've went, I
she
make sure.
She puts that shirt on you?
No, as long as the resort ain't too big, they probably could get you back to your room. I mean,
oh, yeah. Hey, like I said, they'd get you a car.
I don't know where I'm at.
Up there. What's your name? I think it's Chris. It's Quay. You know me?
But no, every time, yeah, you know, I said I do spend a lot of time at the bar.
You say it ain't so, Chris. Mm. We wouldn't expect anything different.
But anyway, it was nice, you know, nice trip back, you know, other than dealing with the traffic coming through Charlotte on New Year's Eve.
It was a lot.
What? Yeah.
I guess because I wasn't thinking it. I mean, because I thought y'all came back like...
No. Yeah, I think we landed. It was like six.
Oh,
six man, something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because they do something in Charlotte for New Year's, not like a ball.
Crown drop or something like
something,
that.
Something, yeah.
Well, all I know is coming from the airport all the way through, at least I got to saw Kannapolis. Mm-hmm. You know, that traffic was crazy. Crazy. But it was a good trip. Yeah. Glad to be
always
back.
A good thing when you have a good trip. We're happy you made it back safe.
Thank you.
Wasn't like other people's trips to Jamaica. Thank you, Jesus. I was just praying for safety.
But they
travels.
Were still remodeling.
Yeah.
A lot of construction people. There was people on the resort that was there from different countries that's there to help them get their power back. Like I said, the Wi-Fi was sketchy, everything, but yeah, I mean, it didn't stop nothing.
It was like, yeah, I felt safe. They had Gwen Levy.
Uh-huh, that was my safety.
And that's all I needed right there. Me and Gwen and Tyra. Hey, I didn't even remember seeing Tyra.
Something.
Me and Gwen, we spent a lot of time together.
That daggone, yeah, I emptied many bottles.
Just came back singing Jamaica Funk.
That's what it is. Hey.
Nah, you can't say that unless you're drinking rum. He was drinking. Well, he was drinking scotch.
He was drinking his version of rum. Yeah. And Gwen Levitt is his version of rum.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's his.
Makes me smile.
Yeah, like he done had some already. You smile like he done. You and Gwen done had a morning rekindlement.
I had a sip.
Jeez, I had a sip.
Or two.
But
anyway, yeah, it was good, though. But I'm glad to be back amongst y'all.
We're glad you're back.
We're glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, we're overjoyed, Chris.
I don't know it. I see it.
You see it on our face?
Yeah.
You can't put your hand.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, see.
I forgot where my mic was. But anyways.
But you're the one to put it on.
Shut up. Well, that's the easiest place to put my anyways.
Yes.
We're not doing this today.
Okay.
We're not starting off the new year like this. We're just gonna keep things right on the moving. What I do for New Year's.
So how was your week, Kim?
My week was, thank you, Juan. my week.
It
was,
doesn't matter.
My week was okay. I got a little bit. I got a lot of relief from my little vertigo.
That's nice.
And yes, and you know, they got me on some like steroids and doing some exercises and stuff.
Kim's
like that.
Gonna be strong.
I'm already strong.
Yeah.
Anyways. And hopefully I'll be getting off light duty from work soon because my thumb, my fingernail finally done fell off from where my thumb was.
I wish you'd stop messing. It looks disgusting.
I'm not messing with it. I have to touch it, but I touch it because the
tip of... It's like a little thumb butt.
It's got a crack.
I'm touching it because the sensitivity is where it hurts the most is at the tip, so I'll be trying to massage the tip of where my finger got broken.
That sounds kinky. She's massaging the tip.
So I'm bouncing back in 2026 pretty good. Hopefully I'll be fully recovered by my birthday in just a few days.
Who's having a birthday?
Anyways.
I don't.
Anyways.
Recall.
It doesn't matter what you recall. So I'll be the lucky, Lord's willing, I'll be the lucky number 49.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of the bunch and also the cutest and the sweetest and the most kindest, most understanding, most, y'all can stop me anytime.
I mean, we all know my statement is a person's perception is their reality. So.
And that is her perception.
I am.
Who am I to argue with a person's
delusion? I'm the sweetest sister you guys got.
Did it get quiet in the microphone? Oh, shit.
But anyway, my New Year's, I was just resting. I had taken some medicine and woke up to hearing, you know, gunshots. You know, people be shot. I was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, just Happy New Year. Okay. Lay my head back down, you know, go back to sleep. But pretty good. Just so glad I made it. So glad I made it. How about yours, Juan? How's yours?
My news was pretty good. I went down Charlotte, hung out with your Blue Bubble buddy and her family.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Good food, you know, good fellowship. Good
stuff.
Good times.
Yeah. Good. A way to start off a year. Amongst people you love. I think that's important to be with people who you enjoy and all that stuff. I think the older that I get, you know, I'm not taking anything away from church. Let me say that. But I think it's just important to be surrounded by people who, you know, really are important and mean a lot to you. And I'm not saying that church people do not, let me say that, but sometimes it's just important to focus on what's in front of you. Yeah. Not you, Chris.
Oh. I'm like, I'm in front of you.
No, I don't want to focus on you, but I'm just saying. You know, so much distraction, and as time, as we get older, you know, but we're not getting all that. But Yeah, it's important to just bring it in how you want to bring it in with the people that you want, you choose to bring it in with. Parties and stuff are great, I guess, but I was just looking online at a lot of people who went out to, like, events or, you know, things. And I was like, oh, man, I can't believe we paid X, Y, Z, and, you know, we didn't have this, and, we, you know, it wasn't even da-da-da or whatever. I'm like, keep it simple. Like, who needs to pay 50, 25, however much to go out and be with people you don't even know, who are not impactful to your life or don't mean nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And you still don't have a good time. You don't enjoy it. You don't, you know, even though you make it a memory, it's kind of a bad memory. You're like, man, my New Year's sucked. We spent $50 and we didn't have party favors or whatever the case may be, when you could just keep it simple, be around people who.
Yeah, I don't enjoy people like that. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, people are cool, but, you know, the older I get, I like to keep it as simple.
Some people are cool. Some people are just trash.
Well, I would like to say my circle of people are the best. You know, my family, my core, as I call my people, but yeah, they're really good. You know, we're a little awkward, some of us, you know, but hey, we balance each other out, and that's scary.
And my son has introduced or reintroduced me to tea. I have been, instead of drinking coffee, I've been drinking a lot more tea in the morning. Yeah,
hot tea is good.
Yeah,
what flavor?
So he's into tea. So he got like a lot of different teas over to for Christmas and stuff like that. So I think one of my favorite was one that he gave me yesterday, and it was a Earl Grey with lemon and ginger, which to me it just tasted like a really not as potent as a black tea, but it tasted like a tea with lemon and then a little touch of ginger. And I'm like, this was really good.
Well,
but then he gave me one. The other one that I had was supposed to be an espresso and black tea. It didn't have very heavy espresso notes to it. To me, it was more just like a really, really, really strong black tea, and I was like, "Oh, this one's
just hitting. This is hitting right here."
So that's
interesting you said it, because I go between tea and coffee, but it especially I'm like the mama kind of at work or whatever. So when people get sick, they know I always have tea in my work bag or whatever. And it's like the spearmint tea. Then I got another tea bag that I'll use. I mean, you know, that's cheating tea. It ain't the ones you got to steep, but I mean, you know, you still steep them. But, and I'll do like a spearmint and a lemon. And when people be at work coughing, they're like, "You got some of that stuff you be making, Gray?" And I'm like, "What's that tea stuff?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know." And when I was at work the other day, one of the guys was like, he was coughing and gagging. I said, "You need some hot tea." He said, "You got some in your bag, Gray?" I was like, "Well, my doctor, Gray medicine woman. I'm taking on my daddy's doctoral degree." And
there you go.
Starting to make people brews of tea that help cure coughs and things
of that
nature.
Would you like to take some elderberry tincture so you can give them a couple drops of elderberry and echinacea?
I'll be having to file the insurance then. So I ain't trying. Look, I told him the other day, I gave him one tea, you know, a tea bag of the lemon, a tea bag, and I said, "You can do the spearmint and the lemon together if you want. I said, I have a ginger tea if you want that or whatever." He's like, "Oh, just whichever one you think." So I gave him the lemon and the spearmint. He came back later, "You got another?" I said, "Now listen, I ain't giving you all my tea. Like, you,
like the first like, taste is free."
Free.
Yeah.
I said, "We ain't doing this." I said, "But yeah, you can get you. Wait, where you get it from?" I said, "You can get it from any store.
Revco."
No, it's tea, sweetie. It's tea. Matter of fact, Ollie's be having a lot of like tea that's normally like, I'm going to say it's higher in like food line and stuff like that. Yeah. But
I like Ollie's. This Lestrial's lemon lavender.
Oh, I bet that's. That is I very like tasty. Lavender. I like
lemon lavender. It's very good.
But then you put a little pinch of sugar.
Got some lavender in the cabinet.
That'd be
pretty good.
Try that.
This is how you know we're getting older. We're talking about things like teas and coffees and things like that. But anyway, it's kind of a dreary day. I think it's because it's raining and it's just, you know.
It's a drinking day.
I said a dreary kind of day. Just
dreary. Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris, huh? I said dreary.
Oh, I just heard the D.
Yeah. Not
and the R.
Okay. So you heard things I didn't even. Dreary.
Oh, not drinking.
No, dreary. I don't even think dreary has an I in it. I know it doesn't have an I in it. I mean, well, not like
dreary. Okay. It was. I got a hearing impediment.
That's how you spell it. Sorry. Dreary. I said drewy. Anyway, we're not here for spelling today.
Oh.
You know, we're just allowing each other some extra grace on today. How about that? We're allowing each other a lot of extra grace.
Oh, gosh.
Juan doesn't have any news.
I have zero news.
But Juan has no news, but I would like to share.
Share.
I got an Amazon order on yesterday.
Congratulations.
Nice. Of some delicious sweet treats that I ordered. And and yes, they're a plant-based Reese's cup that is it is deliciously delicious. And you know, you don't appreciate stuff until you really learn how to appreciate it. But I was looking online, and I know how much I paid for those just what 4 days ago or something like that. And then I got the delivery, and I said, "Oh, I could just put them on." Repeat
on that subscribe. It's
yes. I was gonna put them on the subscribe so I can, because it's very hard. I was telling, my thing is this: being vegan, it's hard to find what I want when I want it. So if I can go ahead and have it, I don't have to worry about it. You know, stay ready, so I ain't got to get ready. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. But when I looked at it was an $8 difference. I was sitting there like, I really don't need to eat this anyway, but it's just so delicious. But if I go ahead and subscribe, I can save 20%. But it still won't be the same. I mean, it's an $8 difference. I'm like, dang, that's a lot. To go from paying 20-some dollars to paying almost 30-some dollars?
So, when you subscribe?
No, I didn't. I got it in my cart, though. Because I think the price is going to go down on it.
Oh, so you just wait for the drop.
I'm waiting for the drop because they'll notify me when the price drops. So when the beat drop, boom, 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 I'm going to hit that button. But I did find some other little
until
assortment.
Then, she'll just sit there and just drool at the picture.
No, I'm going to eat what I got, and I'm going to get my Hershey's with almonds when it comes Monday, and I'm going to just lounce it out. I'm going to lounce it out because it still comes with the two cups in there. So I'll eat one cup, and I'll fold that over, and I'll save the other one for later. Because, you know, I try to eat a serving size. That's...
So you know what you could do to get your chocolate fix?
What one?
Cacao nibs.
Oh, cacao nibs.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, because it's just a punch in the mouth of pure chocolate essence. It's bow chocolate. Mm-hmm. It's not smooth and mellow, but it'll give you the.
I want the smooth. I want it to be like when I'm sitting, like last night. I was sitting there and I was like, I just want some chocolate. I've got Reese's.
But that's what cacao nibs will give you that. They say it's like a hormonal thing that chocolate releases. So the cacao nibs release that same hormone into your brain that gives you that. I mean, it definitely doesn't taste like chocolate.
Yeah, see, I want the taste. I love, chocolate has always been my thing. I mean, Snicker bars, Twixes, you know, like. For me, it's that. But I did find some chocolate covered pretzels also that I put in my car that are, you know, yeah, I just was on the binge. And
by the way, it sounds like Fat Girl.
Hey.
Heaven.
She's coming out of the closet. Yes, but I was just sharing that. But I just think it's ridiculous how one minute, you know, you go on Amazon, you're like, oh, this is a great deal.
But I mean, those things are normally high, though.
They're normally high in the store.
Yeah.
But, you know, like what we were talking about, I was like, oh, this is a steal. You got to get it. You know, I can get a dozen of these jokers for under 20 bucks, right at 20. And now they think I'm going to pay 30 some?
Yep.
You've got to be crazy.
Nope.
I'll be skinny before I pay
that. Because that is not a moneymaker for Hershey's. They're like, hey, we just be happy we're making it for you.
Yeah, and I'm overjoyed, trust me. But like I said, once I get those, and I got those lentils, the little balls, I found about, I'm going to be straight for at least till March.
That's good.
That's why I'll just stick with the stuff that I can get out of the store that's accidentally vegan.
But I'm tired of Oreos. I'm tired of that. Like, them Skittles is killing my feelings. I can't keep eating because...
Yeah, I can only eat like two or three Skittles at a time. That's like...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I get 4 to 6 Skittles. I don't even get 10s. I think I forgot the serving sizes. Anyway, but I'll get like a few of them. I'm sitting, I'm chewing them. Because I'm trying
chocolate
not
milk.
To.
Do chocolate milk.
Yeah, I don't like the engine. I don't like the I don't like the make almond chocolate own. Milk. Oh yeah, well, I could do that. Well, what kind of syrup would I? The regular.
So whenever I make mine, I use dates. I think that the little dates bit of sweetness that dates puts in there works. But I mean, put anything you want. Sugar, honey. I mean, that's the beauty of making it yourself. You get to make you get to craft the flavor the way you want. Because whenever I make mine, I'll put like a little bit of cinnamon in there.
Cinnamon in my coffee this morning.
Cinnamon chocolate milk. That is beautiful.
Pretty good.
Because you got a Nutribullet.
I do. But I don't even use that thing no more.
Yeah, just get you some cashews. Easy peasy. And it's cheap. True. And it that does give you the milk chocolate sense.
True. I'm sorry, but I went off on a rant talking about my peg. Sorry, but I was just really excited.
I thought you really had some news.
Yeah, I did have news. I've got chocolate now.
That's not.
Chris, it's not news to you, but I guarantee if you ate it, you'd be like, oh, yo, this is what's up. And as Micaiah pointed out, these ain't real Reese's because they don't even give you the paper. I said, girl, the paper.
Paper is a barrier.
Yeah, I said, the paper is keeping the flavor from coming straight. I said, when I open a packet, I just take it right out and bite right into a delicious goodness. You know, so it was, and I ate one. I gave her one. See, so I don't ever eat the full package. So it's just a point of having that, like having something sweet and something salty, that concept. You know. But anyways, on to the next. Juan doesn't have any news. We're just happy to.
Well, I do have. I mean, it's not real news, but
is our news ever really real news? It's,
yeah, I mean, I mean,
it is. Yeah, so I take it back. But it's news.
My motherboard for Florence should be here today.
Oh shit!
I said I was gonna start back after the new year.
That you did, Juan. You did.
Yeah, because we got electronic crap everywhere. Just look like a electronic.
I also said that I wanted to wait till after the new year to have my stuff explode out again. And
yes. And it's busting at the seams. It's definitely busting at the seams.
It's okay.
But we wouldn't have it any other way, Juan. Yeah, this is a wonderful backdrop.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
It is. Mm-hmm. When are you going to take your tree down, Juan?
Tanya said she's going to take it down next time she's up here.
Oh, but you can't take your own tree down. Okay. Anyway.
I didn't put my own tree up.
Chris, when you going to take your tree down? Never, because it's dead belong. We're going to decorate it for Valentine's Day.
Anyway.
After we order this new tree we're going to get.
Anywho.
Comment. We're going to play the first snippet.
All right, here we go.
So I just brought groceries for my house, which I'm proud of because it costs about $1 billion. And as I was bringing the bags into the house, I noticed that my son grabbed one bag and started walking towards the door. So I put my hand on his shoulder and I looked him deep in his eyes and I said, stop being a little bitch. I ain't raised you to be weak. I raised you to be strong. You grab as many bags as you can muster. And when your shoulders feel like they're about to rip off their body, and your circulation is getting cut off to the point where you're about to pass out, you grab 2 more motherfucking bags. Get your weight up, little nigga. Ain't no puppies out here. We big dogs. Bark, 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 bark. So I just brought groceries for my house.
Oh, that's funny.
The humor that was in that. Because at first funny. I was like listening to it, and I was like, yes, yeah,
this is. That's just funny because you know, if I laugh because I'm like, I see a lot of people do that. I'm bad.
I do
doing
that.
I swear.
You seen yourself in this, huh? You
seen
I seen you guys. That's why I said it was funny because I was like, you know, it's not even about that. With younger kids or in parenting, I'm saying parenting. You know, we always apply more pressure to our kids sometimes than we. And I'm just using it as a pressure, not so much. a boy grabbing a bag of groceries or whatever. I know Ivan did it with my child. I'm like, you can carry more than one bag, can't you? You know, like, so it's just like, I'm carrying 10, you carrying one. Yeah. You're going to eat at least two bags of these groceries, can't you, you know?
Yeah. Well, for me, I wasn't even about the last part about him applying the pressure to his son. For me, it was totally, yeah, I do that.
Yeah. Because
it's like, I have like, you know, bags hanging from each finger.
Yes, yes.
Then you have a bag hanging within your whole hand. Yes.
Like, because, that's all you got?
Because fingers will be turning purple. You're like, nah, I'm good. I don't need no help. Mm-hmm.
Plus, my philosophy, I'm like, man, less trips I got to make back out here.
It's yes. like you ain't really even taking full steps. You're like waddling because you got so much weight on. It's,
I'm bad for that. That was funny. I like that.
And people be like, you need some help? Like, no, I'm good.
Can't feel my fingertips right now, but I'm good.
Well,
like,
if you could just get the door. But if you can't get the door, I got my mouth hot.
I got it.
Swing it wide, I'll catch it with my elbow.
I'm used to being a one-trick pony. I do it all. I can do it all.
Mm-mm. But, I just thought that was funny.
That was
funny. Very, very cute. Very cute.
Yes, indeed. Next one.
It's because they smell like weed don't mean they don't know scripture. I can't hear nobody. And too many of you all are cliquish. And you try to turn the church into a country club. And you don't want to sit by people who don't dress like you and don't smell like you and don't have your pedigree and don't have your background. Just because they smell like weed don't mean they don't know scripture. God is getting ready to raise up a generation that may not look like how you want them to look. But they'll be speaking in tongues with tattoos on their necks, slain in the spirit. Y'all ain't saying nothing. With pink hair and with piercings in their tongues. I'm tired of a church that's stuck up. Man looks at the outer appearance, but God is looking at the heart. It's hard to have earnest conversations with people who have closed minds but open mouths. Church kills what they can't comprehend. Just because they smell like weed don't mean that.
Go for it, Chris.
Okay.
Go for it, Chris.
I think I agree with that to a certain extent. Because the statement is true. There's people, you walk by people every day, smell like weed.
Yes.
Now, for me, that don't mean that they're not God-fearing, you know, but a lot of times the church or the people in the church do look at people that's dressed different, or you not coming in there with a suit, because you know that used to be the thing. When you go to church, you put you some dress shoes on, mm-hmm. some slacks, tie, you know, button down, whatever. Now, I do like the fact that now church is more, I guess you would call it, more laid back as far as dress now. Mm-hmm. I like that fact, but I agree with what they're saying. You know, a lot of people in church do frown on a lot of people, you know, and which we shouldn't as Christians, you know. So, but yeah, that's, I think it's spot on, because I agree with the pastor, you know, even though I can't speak to what God is doing, but what it looks like is that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I totally, totally agree, you know.
Yeah, that was Jamal Brown, Pastor Jamal Brown. I think he does a lot of touchy sermons. I say they're touchy because, mm-hmm. you know, I can't say like controversial. Oh, not really. I like the stuff he'd be preaching on, or his style of preaching, because he goes directly for the head. I mean, he don't really, he don't really do a lot of the sugarcoating aspect. But, you know, like you were saying, Christian, a lot of people, they will, like, judge, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. But back in those days, you know, I always remember, you know, well, what we know now, they say they equipped us to go out to be the church. We are the church. Mm-hmm. We go out. The church is great, a great place for us to congregate and mm-hmm. things like that. But there are a lot of people who try to, I guess, judge a book by the cover. And it's a lot of people in church that, you know, have the suits on and, you know, and they look the churchy part, but are some of the biggest
hypocrites.
Yeah, biggest hypocrites. And just because you smell somebody that smells like weed, I mean, they might, you know, partake of that. But, you know, like they say, in certain places, it is acceptable.
Yeah.
It is medicinal. It is, you know, whatever. And, yeah. you know, that's their reason and that's their battle to fight. So who are we to judge, I mean, you know, a person for how they look? But we, I'm going to say, as human beings, not necessarily even Christians, we are quick to look at a person and judge them, not knowing the content or what's inside of them, what they mm-hmm. consist of. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes beyond, like, the Christian aspect. That just, it's just the human, you know, because you could find a person who looks a little unraveled, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, oh, you know, you walking over and, you know, and you might, hello, you know, just keep moving. Oh, how you doing today? You'd be like, oh, they must just got off work then, you know, and mm-hmm. not knowing the history behind why they look like they look or smell like they smell or mm-hmm. whatever. But and I think even with that thing with Jamal Brown was saying, it was another thing I had seen. His wife, whatever, had wore an outfit that was beautiful dress. Did you see that one too? Okay. He got up there and preached on it because everybody was all over the place about how could she wear this and that and the third. And he's very, like, he talks about stuff that I say current things, that how Christian folk, because he's a pastor, so he hears it firsthand, you know, people, how you gonna let First Lady look like this and da da da. And he said, what nobody ever asked me was, Pastor, who bought that dress? He said, I bought my wife that dress. He said, because I want to see my wife looking. He said, when I married her, he said, and I knew that was a woman that whatever God made for me or whatnot. He said, I wanted a wife that I wanted to come home to. I didn't want to be like these other pastors, and he didn't say no names, that he said, are out crusading for months at a time away from their wife, and this, that, and the third. I was just like, ooh, he's getting in somebody's business on this, you know. But he touches on a lot of things that a lot of people kind of just sweep under the rug. So with that, about, you know, people smell like weed, they said at his church, I've never been, but they said he has a demographic of all types of people. It's not just people who, the business and the CEOs and things like that. He said he's got, you know, layers of different people that come to join his ministry.
Where is he out of?
Atlanta. Oh, okay. He's an Atlanta pastor. Okay. And he's one of those dressed up pastors that keep it kind of street. And I say keep it kind of street because, like, a lot of his stuff is very, he preaches to a younger generation, but mm-hmm. he keeps that older, like, generation, like, he keeps there, I think, from the stuff he preaches about, he keeps everybody kind of, he brings something in for every generation.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, he's a fairly young, he's about our age, I guess, fairly young, you know, pastor, but he tries to, like, listening to his sermons, you know, kind of like, I'm not going to say the name, but, you know, they try to keep a catchy kick, you know, if I had to put a title today on this sermon, it's, you know, it's keep it funky or something, you know, like he lures that in, but then he'll go back and get the, you know, the scripture and bring it all in and make it work. So, but yeah, sorry about my rant, Juan. Go ahead. Carry on, Juan.
I agree with the sentiment behind the statement. I do feel that it is a dangerous thought process to adopt throughout Christendom. Because I agree. You should, because I think the sentiment, the pure sentiment in the statement is we shouldn't be looking upon other people just because they look differently and right. being like, oh, they shouldn't be in the church.
Right. But I think that that same sentiment can be corrupted to mean we should continue to allow, because I think that's the part that a lot of younger Christians lose in accepting me as I am. Your goal in growing in Christ is to grow and become holy, which means you're set apart, mm-hmm. which means there should come a point where you don't still smell like weed, because that's not a holy thing. Mm-hmm. Your goal should be to become holy. That is what all of our goal is. It's mm-hmm. But yes, we shouldn't look upon people and judge them and be like, oh, they shouldn't be here because they're wearing that. Or no, they shouldn't be here because they smell like this. Or no, they shouldn't be here in those clothes. But the ultimate goal should still be to work to become not what I shouldn't still look like what I came in as. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the dangerous, slippery slope aspect of that message. You don't always stay looking like what you look like. In anything, there should be growth and progression. You should never become stagnant
right.
in any of the things that you do. So
I want to say, even on that, I think it's either on that one or either it was the one he was talking about, the dress to his wife, where he said, you know, people focus on what they can see. He says, and with that, I guess the slippery slope also is, he took it to another level of saying, well, it's okay if I'm sitting up here fat and I'm telling you after this, we're going to go eat a buffet. And this and the third, he said, did you hear that one?
No, I didn't, but that's been one of my big gripes with
church's people. Exactly. Yeah. He said, but it's okay. I'm sitting up here, high blood pressure. You got high blood pressure. And it's okay because I'm hyping up. You doing the same sin that somebody else is doing, but you're going to sit there. And because mine, you can't smell the chicken grease or whatever, he was saying or whatever.
Gluttony is acceptable. It's an acceptable sin. Exactly. I'm air quoting people. Yes. So
definitely got air quotes. Wow. But, you know, I was like, yeah, well, that's a good way to look at it, because, you know, a sin is a sin. We all know this, and we've heard it, you know, and they say, well, murderers won't enter to the kingdom. You know, we can dissect it, and I'm not a scholar in religion. I don't have no type of degree. I just have what I know. And I think my personal belief is, you know, anybody up until the last day of their life has any time to repent for any wrongdoing they're doing, and they have to be accountable for whatever they do.
And for me, that's why I said I definitely don't think we should look down upon it, because everybody has their sin that they struggle with. Honestly, a lot of people, it's the table. The table is a hard sin to push away from.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was just talking about chocolate.
But most people don't really view that as a sin, exactly. Because in the American culture,
what we do.
A 24-ounce drink is a small drink. True. I mean, we are a gluttonous society, and a lot of us don't look at that. And it's like, no, you can't look down on somebody just because they smoke weed and you always pushing up to the buffet every Sunday after mm-hmm. you leave your holy mm-hmm. service.
Mm-hmm. Are you person you do, you light up a cigarette?
Yeah, I mean, we should all be working to grow to mm-hmm. become
that's true.
More holy.
Holy. Instead of just to remove the Christian aspect, we should always be working to become a better version of ourselves.
Exactly. I agree with that.
You know,
so, I definitely agree.
And if we all do that, you would not be looking down upon people as much, because you know you're working on something yourself. So I ain't got time to look over at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can work together and we can all become better.
That's true, though.
It's a daily struggle.
Every day I'm struggling. That's true, though.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't walk in their truth. I mean, because a lot of people are very glass houses. They're very judgmental, and it is what it is. Mm. On with the next.
All right.
Get it together, Juan.
I got it together. We got time. We only got three more to get through.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. But that works out well.
Yeah. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she and I met, we weren't starting from scratch. We both already had children. We both had our independent families. We both had lived whole lives before finding each other. But what I didn't understand at the beginning was how much she had carried alone before I ever even showed up. She wasn't hyper-independent by choice. She had to be. She had survived things I'd never experienced, learned to run on high alert, learned to do everything for herself because nobody else ever showed up. And I'll be honest, at first, I didn't fully get it. I've always been a hands-on father, hands-on dad, and I thought that meant I understood the load, do everything. But there's a difference between being present with your kids and understanding the kind of vigilance a woman develops when she's had to protect herself and her family without consistent support. It wasn't until we had some real honest conversations, the kind where she let me see the parts of her that were tired, guarded, even scared. That's when it really clicked for me. She wasn't resisting softness, she just didn't feel safe enough to lay it down. So I had to learn. I had to learn how to listen without getting defensive. That was hard. I had to understand the way women move through this world differently than we do, especially women who've had to stand alone. Little by little, I realized that being her partner meant more than love. It meant anticipating her needs before she burned out. It meant consistency, not control. It meant creating a space where she finally felt safe enough to rest, maybe for the first time in her life. And watching her get to this point where she can finally soften, watching her let me lead, watching her trust me enough to stop carrying everything alone, that changed me. It rewired me, just as much as it probably rewired her. Men, let me be real with you for a second. Hypermasculinity isn't strength. Silence and stubbornness, they're not leadership. And the version of masculinity that we grew up seeing, especially in the Afro-Caribbean diaspora, doesn't reflect what a woman actually needs. She doesn't need a savior. She needs a partner who understands the weight she's been holding long before you met her. Masculinity looks like anticipating her needs without begging, letting her vent without trying to fix her, showing up even on her hardest day and proving through action that you're not going anywhere. If you want a woman to live in her softness, you have to create the safety that allows her to finally put her armor down. So to the men watching this, step it up. Listen deeper. Lead with presence and understand her past, not just her present. Because when she finally feels safe, love becomes a different experience entirely.
Stay with us, Chris. We only got two more. Look, stay with us, Chris.
That was long.
I think I sent that.
Yes, you did.
I did. And I think that just was so, you know, you say, well, that's kind of cliche. You know, that right there was just coming from being a guarded woman, I'm going to say all my life, pretty much. I just choices you have to make, you know, being in survival mode, whatever people want to call it. I don't know. Just being, they say independent now, you know, there's so many names for, I don't know what it is. Mean, I don't know what it is, but you know, I always just use the excuse saying, well, I was the only girl with two brothers, so I didn't have choices to be too soft. I just didn't have, you know, anything they could do, I could do as well. So, well, not anything, but you know, a lot of the stuff, planned, rough, stuff like that. If I couldn't do this, I wasn't, you know, I couldn't play. I didn't have little girls that I could go play dolls with. We had to rip my heads off the dolls and, you know, we had to do all, you know, kind of torturous things that made me to be this sweet yet slightly abrasive woman that I am today. And not to mention my own personal life. Situations that I went through that contributed to it. So everything that man was saying was like, for me, like, yeah, you know, I want to, you know, to find a guy who can definitely understand who I am, allow me to be great in my, the capacity of who I am without changing me, without, you know, doing all the extra, and just let me just be who I am. It's just like, It's a sweet thing because I know I'm not for the weak, as I know I've heard a thousand times or more. My mouth is slick.
No.
My hands are sharp, and my words are even sharper. So.
No.
But as a being the woman that he speaks of, I didn't ask to be this person. It's just what I was created to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I strive daily to be better.
Okay.
I do. But my brothers don't help none. So
how not?
They don't help. Like, well, that's just you. Yeah. I mean, what it is. I try to be better. It's a struggle.
Really?
But a male's perspective. Juan is just, usually he goes last, but I think he wants to go.
Go ahead, man.
So first I would like to say that.
We get the hand
when
clap
you shared this, I shared it with your Blue Bubble buddy.
Okay.
And this was a huge point of discussion all morning on New Year's.
Uh-oh.
Because I have a huge issue with this video.
Why?
Because I feel that it removes any level of culpability of anything from the woman. It says, man, you need to anticipate. And for me, anticipation means there is not a lot of, it's I should just know, air quote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is unfair. I think that is a bunch of crap. And I think that is not fair to assume that a man needs to just know the woman.
We talked about communication last week.
Yes.
And knowing your partner.
And that again, this was a huge mm-hmm. point of discussion okay. all morning. I got double teamed by your Blue Bubble buddy and your Blue Bubble buddy's daughter. it was rough. It was a rough morning.
It was a rough New Year's Day.
Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
And they were saying that, you know, it there should be communication involved. Which, if there's communication involved, I don't think it's anticipation at that point.
Yeah.
I think it's I'm acting on known information. That's not anticipation. Anticipation, thanks. Anticipation is acting upon intuition.
What
it's not
thinking?
If I, it's not okay. We've had a discussion. I know these things. I'm going to act accordingly. Those are two different things. So for me, words matter. Word choices mean something. And yes. the fact that he's saying, fellas, you should anticipate. No, we shouldn't. There should be a communication involved. And then I know how to act. I shouldn't just know. And you know, that, you know, once we came to that level, there was still further discussion because for them, they were like, oh, thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Yes.
For them, they were like, no, at a certain point, you should just know. And I don't know how I feel about that yet. I don't think there's a point where you should just assume that I know things. I think that's unfair because everybody doesn't pick up on hints and
innuendos.
And, and as a person who I've openly always stated, I don't get it.
Yeah, we know.
I don't understand.
But and that comes into, like, again, knowing your partner. You have people who don't pick up on social clues. You got people who don't pick up on innuendos, any of that stuff. You just have those people. Like, and on the other hand, I'm like on the other side. Because you can say something, I'd be like, what you mean by that? Well, no, I was just saying I'm happy to be here. You'd be like, oh, okay then. You know, because I'm very quick witty. I'm very witty. So I know when I say things, a lot of times there's a reason why I say it, or if I'm saying, ooh, it's cold in here, that means, you know, you got a blanket or something. Going back to knowing your partner. So if you communicate and you and your partner know, would say something that came from a, you know, a battered home or something, just use that as an example, and you know that every time you go to move your arm quick, you know, you're going to be more cautious the way you move your body. So going back to just being
But that's not known. Anticipation. That's,
yeah,
okay,
know.
I know exactly. You came from an abusive background,
exactly.
So
yeah.
No, I probably shouldn't just,
Yeah.
So in most cases, if you're in a relationship with somebody, and that's why we say communication is so important. And I'm a firm believer now that I'm a grown woman and I like to communicate. I like to talk to my person or if I, you know, whoever. Hell, I like to talk. So I like to communicate. So why, you know, a lot of times when I think back to like relationships I may have seen or, you know, I use my mom, you know, mom and dad. I just think mom was never a great communicator. She was emotional. But she was not a good communicator because she didn't know how to use her words until she got emotional. And then when they came out, they were just jarbled. You know, they were just so, well, you know, sometimes they could just be a cluster of 5 days from 5 weeks to 5 years ago of everything, you know. And I just think if she would have had a partner who could communicate and understand her better or that knew about more about her, then I think she could have been, you know,
conversations.
That's the thing, though. I mean, again, you just said if she would have had a part.
If
she would, I mean, because it's got to be mutual. Exactly. It's mutual communication. It's not just I have to know how you communicate. There has to be a bridging. Mm-hmm. We both have to know how to communicate with one another, mm-hmm. because that's what communication is. It's two way. It interaction. It's not just I know what you're saying all the time. Exactly. It's you have to know way to convey it so that I understand it. Otherwise, you're not communicating.
Going back to knowing your partner, a lot of people deal with people who they don't get to know. I mean, they don't get to know the line of communication. Like some people are people who just shut down and don't communicate. And I know for me, I hate those people because I don't do well in those situations because I've dealt with people who shut down. Block me out. And I'm saying like, well, what is it? What is it? And I'm sitting there playing the freaking 50 questions, you know, okay. Don't nobody have time for that, you know? So as I grew older and I realized that, you know, I realized I do like to communicate. I like to talk to, you know, if you're mad at me, I'm like, well, what'd I do, Juan? What did I do something when I smacked you in the face? Did you not like that? You know, are you just, you're not going to say nothing? You're just going to sit there and look at me like you're going to, I mean, you know, I want to know. You know, because I want to hear from you. But I'm just saying, you know, because a lot of people.
Smack you in the face.
A lot of people will sit there and be like, well, I know it's something wrong, but I just don't know it. I'm not that person. So I know the person who I deal with has got to have some good communication skills because I don't do well with that. Other people might be like, well, he's everything I want in a man. But he just doesn't communicate. Well, see, that right there is it for me. You know,
everything.
Exactly. But see, but that's how people, that's the verbiage like they use when they say, oh, he said, but you know, he just don't do this. He just, well, you know, and they say 80-20, all this other crap. But for me, if a man could be barbaric looking and all this other stuff, but if he could communicate, says, well, Kim, you know, when you talk to me like this, da-da-da-da, and I'm like, oh, he might look like a monkey. But I love this man because he can talk to me and he can make me understand, you know, when he's having a bad day.
He speaks ape,
but I understand it, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know?
Caesar.
That's it. But communication is very important in your partnering because my thing is this, in life, we know as we get older, we want to spend the rest of our life with, you know, whoever, people. So you don't want to spend, I couldn't imagine spending the rest of my life with somebody who I can't communicate with. Because communication is so very important. You know, I mean, it's laughable to me when I hear people say, oh, nah, you know, they just go in their room, I go in my room, we ain't got nothing to say to each other. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. Well, that's got to sound like fun, you know. But that's how they've learned to cope with that. I know me, I don't do well with people. And I know I definitely couldn't do it in a relationship of somebody who just shuts down. You can shut down for 5 or 10 minutes, but here after a day, bro, you got to open your mouth.
But that's the danger of that message that we just, because anticipation removes communication.
Yeah.
Anticipation is, you know, you should just know. You should know this makes me feel this way.
Well, maybe he's coming from a season.
No, I shouldn't if you never communicated that to me.
Maybe what he said, anticipation, he's coming from a seasoned place where...
I'm a seasoned person.
Well,
I'm a seasoned person. I've been in a seasoned marriage for 20 years and I'm moving on to something else. No, it's not. But, you have to communicate.
But then again, going back to communication, there are people who've been married to people for a long period of time and never found their communication skill. You see what I'm saying? Because you said that yourself.
Right.
So in that particular scenario, you said it. You was in a situation and you just cultivating your communication skills.
But that's what I'm saying. To say anticipation removes that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yep.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have used.
For me, words have definitions. They mean something. Yeah.
But some people think synonyms mean the same and they're really not the same. I mean, you know, they're like, well, it's anticipation. Like, no. And me anticipate something to me. It's like not really knowing. I'm just guessing. I'm on like, I think they're going to do it.
Saying. Sure.
I know. But that man, probably when he said it, he wasn't thinking of.
But that's what I'm saying. When you put out messaging like that,
yeah,
people hear that message.
It makes the water murky.
And there's going to be a woman that hears this message and is playing this for her man. It's like, see?
He understands. He anticipates.
Yes, and they're going to be judging their man based off of this information. Well, you go find him,
okay? Yeah.
Well, and I always tell people, a lot of the stuff that's put out there on social media, you know, is very catchy. It sometimes some of the stuff makes you think. Sometimes it doesn't make you think. Sometimes it just, a lot of the stuff really makes me laugh. But a lot of that stuff is stuff you take bits and pieces. You never take the whole. Some people might. I don't know. You can take little bits and pieces and you can like try to implement it in ways you think it's going to be effective to you. Now, I ain't going to take that whole thing and be like, well, yes, the message.
Somebody will, though.
Somebody will.
Is the thing. So somebody's going to hear, somebody hears this, yeah. Like a young lady mm-hmm. hears this message. She likes it. Mm-hmm. So now the algorithm knows she likes this type of information.
So
now she's going to mm-hmm. continuously mm-hmm. be fed people that are giving messaging that is not about communication. It's about anticipation. It's about the man should just know. So yeah. Now this becomes what she thinks is real because that's what she keeps seeing. Yeah.
Then she's going to run into her sister like me. And I'm like, listen, chick.
That's the danger of stuff like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because while there are nuggets in there, you for me, words are important. Words have definitions.
Words are important.
You can't say one thing and that's not what it means because that's the whole basis of true communication is that the words that you say have a clear, concise definition and I know what you're saying. Sure. If your words can mean one thing this day and tomorrow it means something else, how in the heck am I supposed to know anything?
But the crazy thing about, look at this generation now. A lot of the words that they use don't mean what they used to mean, you know.
Well, I'm glad I'm where I'm at.
Because I mean, you know, listen to people, yo, I'm gonna get a, what did I hear that look at? Yo, I'm gonna hit you. I said, you gonna call them or you gonna hit them? You know, like little words like that. Yo, that's a lick right there. I'm like, somebody done lick somebody. You know, like some of the stuff I'm like, lick. You know, and even in my older.
How younger, old are you, Kim?
I'm 48 years old.
Because I'm older than you and I knew what I'm a hit you means.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, just the words.
What you talking about, young person? The words.
Sometimes you just have to be like, what you mean? What you hitting? You know, but just for the sakes of. Words don't really mean what they. I'm gonna say
there's so much slang.
There's so much slang.
But that's the thing. It still has to be understood. That's the point. It's understood. I mean, words mm-hmm. are just what the definition that we ascribe to them.
Yes. Yes.
So I mean, as long as we all have an understanding of what said word means, we're still communicating. Right. But if it means one thing to you and it means something else to me, that's
that
no
ain't
longer,
gonna work.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That ain't gonna work.
What said word means? What does said
I
word
mean? I mean, that's like back in the day, you know, a person from Britain come over and be like, hey, could you give me a fag? And, you know, somebody looking at you.
Oh, well, you call me a fag?
What are you talking about? But they're like, I was just talking about a short from a cigarette, you know.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, true.
I mean, so we have to know what we're saying.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll share this. I guess I'm sharing this with everybody. I had a whole breakdown with your Blue Bubble Buddy one time. Because I'm like, for me, words are very important, and it's like I spun out. I'm like, the words are supposed to mean something. I don't want to upset you. I'm sorry. But words matter. Words are so important.
We'll get watchers say words do matter. That's Mark's next shirt.
No, because that used to be a big thing with me and my ex is that I'll be like, the words. The words have to mean something.
Well,
but so I wanted to make her. I wanted to make your blue bubble bunny instead. Of, words matter to me. They have a definition. They mean something. I'm anal about stuff like this. Yeah.
And that's understood because you know when things are lost in translation. Sometimes I think that's when it's important that everybody in the conversation that you know understands and knows what. Something means because I know words matter to me. They're mattering more, especially when you talk to people who use words that you don't understand.
Why are you looking at me as I said? No, said
no. Because I'm sitting there. I had a similar conversation.
Which is 1750 words. Shout out, El.
Well, because one time somebody had said something.
Need 3 cent words from you, sir.
And they said something to me, and they were like, "Well, you're being." I forgot the word, but it was like being, when I looked it up, it meant being like secretive. And I said, why didn't you just say I was being secretive? Like, I said, I wasn't trying to be secretive because I was like, I don't even know what you meant when you said that. Because when they said it, I was just like, oh, okay, then, well, all right. And so when I went to my phone, I'm like,
all right, whatever you said, what the word means?
I was mad at the tone.
Lady, if you didn't understand the word, why didn't you be like, could you please explain that to me in $2 terms?
Because when you're saying something, it's like if I'm having a conversation with you and I say, well, yeah, you're being real, and it's just getting on my nerves. And
I'd be like, pause. What'd you just call me?
Yeah, you know. But I was, because the tone and stuff like that, like there's a delivery and everything means a lot to me. Right. Like if you yell at me, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, nigga. You better fall back, you know. Because defense mode for me is like, you ain't got no reason to yell at me, number one. Number two, what are you talking about?
Right.
And then you use another word, and now you don't even know what you mean. So hold on. So you mean I was being secretive? You know, I wasn't being secretive. You asked me such and such, and I said such and such. And I mean, if you wanted more detail, all you had to do is say, hey, could you, you know.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah. Could you tell me more or something, you know. Don't be sitting here getting upset because.
Kim, you do realize you're covering up your path to your point, covering up your voice to the microphone whenever you put your hand in front of your mouth.
My bad.
Yeah, you deep in.
I'm deep in thought.
She didn't like what she called her. You keep it up. We're going to put you on the boom mic, Kim. We're going to put you on the boom mic.
I got promoted from boom mic. But in moments like that, for me, that's just, but words do matter. And it's important that you understand.
And if you don't understand the word, ask for clarification. Because just because it's a big word or a non-conversational word to you doesn't mean it's a non-conversational word to another person. Different people have different level of words that they use in conversation.
And that's very true. But for me, like I said, if you strike a nerve, because most of the time I don't even, in conversations, people don't really strike a nerve. But if we're having a heartfelt conversation and you feel the need, you have to raise your voice. I'm just like, bro, fall back, bro, you know, and then I have to gather my thoughts because, like I said, I'm very sometimes reactive.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially if we're having a conversation that, you know, emotion might be somewhere on the table and I'm in a particular emotion and then you yell, but I'm still trying to be like, well, what are you, you know, I'm still using my peaceful voice. My nice voice, you know, trying to talk through this, but you felt the need to yell. So then immediately I'm going to say, I ain't heard nothing else you said, nigga. Because once you yelled at me, I went on mute, you know. So it's just like, you know. But communication and words are equally important. And delivery as well. So, I'm only speaking for
delivery is always.
Yeah. Because you can say, you can yell at somebody
in a nice way.
No. Like, Chris, what are you doing?
That ain't yelling.
I'm like, Chris, what the fuck are you doing? You know.
About to knock you
okay,
the
you
fuck
see,
out.
So that's, see what I'm saying? It's just the delivery. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's, you can say, hey, what you doing? You know. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? You know. Mm-hmm. So the delivery counts just the same as, you know, in conversation. I think sometimes people don't really. They can't connect the two sometimes. But next one. No, go ahead. Give it to me one.
Oh, no. I'm just wondering how we got to conversational delivery.
Well, because I was talking about not knowing the word. Words matter.
Okay.
We were talking about words matter. We're talking about words matter. And I said, yes, words matter, but also the delivery of the words. Knowing the definition and then delivery. Next one. Jesus. He makes me so sick.
I was trying to. I like.
Said I'm retarded. I follow you. Squirrel. He's
stupid. Here we okay. go. We got two more. That's good.
Validating emotions is actually a bigger problem than solution. And so when they're like, see, you're supposed to validate my emotions. Wrong. Validating emotions creates a complication. It's different to acknowledge than it is to validate. Validation means you are correct. That is valid. You're right. And it's going to say the validity of what you are saying has been confirmed. Validating is very different than acknowledgement. If I have to start with validation for you to even interact with me, that control or that negative control, very, very toxic to communication, because I need you to tell me I'm right before we even begin. Now any disagreeableness is just you being bad. Toxic. Fucking poison. Doesn't work. But acknowledging, I can see you're upset, and I understand you are upset. But I just want to see what's going on with you to see if we can work together on it. I don't validate it because I don't agree with you. But I can see that you are doing it. That's true. I believe acknowledgement over validation is the safer or wiser way to go when it comes to being able to maintain emotional currency without doing a withdrawal and then wondering, why am I getting overdraft fees? Why am I having no intimacy? Why are we detached? Why are we not okay? Well, it's because you were telling yourself that you're bad before you guys even start to disagree. But disagreement doesn't necessarily mean that we're not okay. It just means we look at it differently. And I think that's where people get the control and accept versus acceptance. And we're doing more doing than being. It's complicated when you start trying to fall for social media bullshit instead of just listen and understand. And I can compassionately and empathetically disagree with you. Validating emotions is
validating emotions. I don't think you should validate people's emotions. You can acknowledge something, but I mean, you know, because everything, I mean, but I guess, you know, words matter, Juan. How do you feel about validation?
I mean, I'm not a huge validation person. We know which, this. And that's.
I heard what you said. But your point is not valid. Stupid. It's really stupid. That's what it is.
No.
You don't use the word stupid anymore.
I try not to. We've had this discussion. We've had this discussion that I've because I've grown to understand that by
what are you looking for?
Calling a person's view stupid, a person.
It's late.
We've had this discussion. we've had discussion early on when we were doing this.
Yes.
How when I was working with my therapist, he helped me to see how calling a person's opinion stupid, whereas I've always felt that they should understand that I'm attacking the opinion, not them.
Yeah.
How that person, you know, can identify that if you're calling their opinion stupid, then you're indirectly calling them stupid. So I've stopped doing that. It's
still a work in progress.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I don't do that as much anymore. But yeah, I also agree that, yeah, validation is, I would call it toxic, but in the wrong hands could be because a lot of, there are, unfortunately, therapists that do push validation of emotion and validation of feelings, and it does. I mean, it especially if it's done in the vein of marital counseling. If we're trying to work through issues and I have to validate your feeling before we can start a discussion, it means if we're having opposing opinions, like you think that, you know, I'm a horrible person for not taking out the trash, and I have to validate. That's accurate. I am a horrible person for not taking out the trash. That's a dangerous point to start discussing and trying to come to a happy medium yeah. from, because I've automatically assumed the role as bad guy.
Yeah.
And that makes, you know.
Yeah.
And every time you don't take the trash out, you're going to be a bad guy.
But I mean, you know, you can get along and not agree. I mean, yeah. so you don't have to.
And that's where acknowledging comes. Yeah. It's like, oh, I understand yeah. where you would see that I'm a bad guy for not doing that. And so, and I understand that. I'm not saying that you know, your feelings aren't, you know, that you shouldn't have the feelings. I just don't agree with your feelings.
Right.
Yeah, that's important.
Hey, we'll agree to disagree.
And that's a good, I mean, if you can. Not a lot of people can get to a point where they can agree to disagree, and mm-hmm. to be able to have a discussion and you don't agree, but you're like, you know what? Screw it. We just don't agree on this one. Mm-hmm. And it'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We both get to still have our opinion. We both still get to have our feeling, mm-hmm. but it doesn't affect what we're doing.
Yeah.
That is beautiful, because if we both have to agree on everything, that means somebody isn't themselves at some point. But to right. be able to both have mutual disagreement, both of us still get to, hey, this is how I feel.
This is
how you feel.
Yeah. Right.
And we're okay with each one of us feeling the way we feel. Mm-hmm. There's peace that's there. Mm-hmm. That's
yep. Dean, just be like, let's get a drink.
We knew he would say that.
I mean, seriously. Shit.
Hey, let's just sit here and just. I think that's
the danger. I think people will accept that with friendships. With friendships, people will be like, "Yeah, it's cool, man. You a fool. You a fool for thinking what you think. Yeah. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you steal my mom.
Yeah.
You steal my.
But in an
intimate relationship where it should be that, you know, you can still be you. And I love mm-hmm. that about you. I love that you have this diverse opinion, because typically those are some of the things that draw you to the person is mm-hmm. the way they think. Yeah.
Not a coming to America. Whatever you like.
What do you like?
Bark like a dog. Big dog. Anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. So
good stuff, Juan. I seen it was just piercing your soul. I seen it through your eyes. Seen it like in your eyes. I said, well, speak to it.
Oh my goodness.
Chris, you have any insight on that?
I just gave my.
Oh, he said it was bark like a dog.
No.
No, I'm just joking.
I said a big dog.
What we got? One more?
We're going to the next one, y'all don't?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I said I agree. I mean, you know.
And I touche of what you said, because.
Oh, you touche? You know,
it's touche. Because, you know, validation to me is just like garbage. I don't need you to make me feel like I'm what I said. Because I know, not being funny, there have been times I know I said things that were just dead wrong. So I'm not going to say I need you to validate. Well, I understand when you call me a smart mother, sucker, whatever. I understand what you said was right, Kim. Mm. I am such, you know, I'm not asking nobody to, you know, no, I don't need you to validate what I said, because sometimes things I said in the moment, not validatable. I don't, you know, and because when you speak from a place of, you know, emotion, that shit don't be validatable sometimes. You don't even want to go back. Well, when you said such and such about me not taking out the trash, yes, I know I'm a bad person for not taking out the... No, you wasn't. I was just lazy. I could have took that damn trash out myself. You know, but I ain't even better put my shoes... I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it is just what it is. You know, some things are not... Some things we put a spotlight on that don't even need a spotlight in relationships and, you know, situations.
Shine a light on him.
Yeah, some lights need to just be turned off on situations.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, and I asked him if he was going to cook, and he said he was going to cook because I didn't. Were you hungry? Well, so who ended up eating? We went and got some. Why didn't y'all just agree to want to go get something to eat initially? Well, both of y'all had a rough day at work, and what was it worth you fighting 20 minutes? I mean, you know, like, I just be sitting there like, You know. So. But anyway.
Play the next one.
All right, last one. Oh, this is the one you just sent today. Oh, I have not seen this one yet.
Oh, you haven't? No. Just a little one thing.
One of the mistakes that I believe.
You and these doggone reels, Kim.
That I made in my storm was choosing isolation. I just disappeared from everybody.
It's not healthy.
It's not. Isolation is so dangerous when you are in a storm. They say an idle mind is the devil's playground. When you are in isolation, you will start thinking of all the worst case scenarios. And here's the thing about your mind thinking about all the worst case scenarios. When you are so focused on a thought or an idea, you will find evidence to support it. Mm-hmm. Suddenly your Instagram algorithm becomes full of things that are confirming these things for you. Mm-hmm. Suddenly all of your Google searches and every time you open up the internet, there's going to be things you're going to, your TV show is going to start showing you shows to support this thought that you're having. Oh, you're a failure. Oh, you're a loser. Oh, you're not chosen. You're not worthy. And you'll start to feel more and more more unworthy. You'll start to feel more and more and more depressed, and it's not helpful. What you need to do instead, talk to a mentor, talk to a group of friends who are solution-based, not friends who want to hear more about the problem, but friends who want to offer more solution. Like, I heard enough of the problem. Let's start talking about a solution. But one of the biggest things that worked for me was talking to my community, like talking about it inside of Actionable CEO, talking about it on Social Proof, talking about it on Full Transparency Podcast, because clarity comes in conversation.
Yep.
And so, you know, yes, there's a season where being quiet will bring you clarity, but when you're going through a storm, you don't need to sit idle. You need to talk about it. And we've been trained, especially in the Black community, we have been trained that what goes on in this house stays in this house. We've been trained or programmed to be embarrassed by our pitfalls and our downfalls. We have been trained to be performative, right? And not real, not transparent. And once you break free from this performative behavior, once you stop pretending that everything is okay, once you stop hiding out, keeping the phone off and not responding to messages, once you actually say the words out loud, that's when you actually start getting clarity on things that you can do. So share what you're going through. Everybody is going through something. I've got friends who are going through things right now and they're feeling incredibly embarrassed about those things. And I'm like, do you know what we're going through over here? Through, like, invite somebody into your struggle so it doesn't suffocate you or suffocate your vision. You need people reminding you. And sometimes you just need to know that you're not the only one, because these storms can feel very lonely. Mm-hmm. It can feel like none of my peers are going through it. No, they're going through it. They're just not sharing it.
Yeah, 100%.
Thought that was really good way to look at in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to I'm not a fan of isolation at all, but I am definitely a fan of communication, conversation, and sharing. Even like, if you don't have to have a therapist, you know, I always say the podcast is therapy kind of for me, because, you know, I like doing it. I like spending time with these guys. It keeps us, it keeps us close. It keeps us connected. Well, we don't really need the podcast to do all that, because we did it. The crazy thing is we did it anyway, but it just makes it where we don't have to, we're not obligated, but it holds us accountable to make us, you know, spin a little. Mm-hmm. You're in a contract. Yes. Y'all want at least a 2-year contract. Yes. Mm-hmm. But, signed with blood from the time you were born.
Oh, shit. I didn't know I signed.
Until there's no more blood in your body. So you signed it at birth. But I think it's important, because I think a lot of times people, and I hear people say things like, well, you know, I just, you know, kind of just want to spend some time with myself and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's okay sometimes. Sometimes it's okay to sit in your thoughts. But for long periods of time, with like social media and stuff like that, we've seen how people go to social media to do things that are, most people say, I would never think they would do that, or they find ways to help cope in ways that are not healthy. And if you have a circle of people or a friend or family, whoever, that you could confide in, you could talk to, just share, not share and get the whole town know everything, but just share with those people that you feel who genuinely care and are genuinely concerned. It's important that you keep them, you know, keep in touch with those people, because isolation, you know, we know as far as mental health and all that stuff goes, it's not a good thing to isolate, because especially when you don't have to, when you have people who are willing to be there to just listen or counsel or whatever the case may be. I'm an advocate for, I mean, I try to be, you know, a person that when people call me, I try to make myself available. And I feel bad because sometimes when I don't make myself available, usually it's the worst time ever. But I try to always make myself available to be a lending ear or help where I know I can, but not to be a crutch for, because sometimes it can be crutch-like. You know, you can be too available to some people and they know that and they'll abuse it. But I think it's important that you just, you know, have people that you can entrust with some of your load sometimes, anytime, if not all the time. What do you think about that, Chris?
I agree. I agree. Isolation is never good. I mean, there are times when you want to be to yourself, like you said, but mm-hmm. I get it. When you're within a storm, and you know, sometimes just and you may not even, you know, need somebody to, you know, to give you a solution. Sometimes just getting it off your chest, mm-hmm. you know, just venting can take some of the weight off. And a lot of times, you know, good ideas come with conversation. You know what I'm saying? People giving you different aspects mm-hmm. Of the situation or something like that, just to make you look at it differently. But some people don't have a village though. That's the bad part. There's people out there that don't, you know.
That's why I laugh when I say it, but the older I get, I always say no new friends, no new family, and I laugh when I say it because it's like everywhere I go, I'll find somebody that will, you know, we'll connect one way or another, whatever, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, cool, and I'm like, gosh, okay, this, and then, you know. Well, you know, I'll kind of befriend them. You know, we'll have conversations and things like that, and I'll try to make myself available. And I'm like, golly, this person just needs a friend. I mean, you know, in my head, I'm thinking.
So you just you're part of adopt a friend.
Yeah, it's like adopt a dog.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
But the crazy thing about it, and this is what I think I had shared with my lieutenant. You know, people come to me and they'll share things with me that I'm like. And I'd be thinking that I look like mm-hmm. I wanted to know that. But at that particular moment, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, they just needed to say that to somebody. You know, and all jokingly, you know, I'd be thinking, but like, oh, I don't even know you like it. But I'm like, wow, such and such felt the need to share that, you know, such and such and such and such and this, that, and the third. I'm like, okay, well, hey, if you need to talk about it later, hey, I'm here. You know, I'll be here.
So you open the door.
Yeah, well, if I'm at work for 12 hours, you know, yeah, hey, I'm here, I'm sitting duck, you know.
Yeah.
Well, just put me to the side, you need to vent, you know, whatever.
Gotcha.
Because I always tell people, sometimes people just need a person right then. And I always say, like, you know, working in healthcare, then going to corrections, sometimes you really just got to have somebody to just keep you from jumping off the bridge, to say, you know, just from losing it or going off on somebody or just, you know, walking out the building or just because, like I tell people, sometimes when we go to work, that's a pressure cooker for some of us. Sometimes when we go to work, people go to work to avoid their problems at home. I mean, so you never know what aspect of a person you're getting when you go to work with your coworkers or even when you meet somebody in the grocery store, you know. So, you know, I've had people in the grocery store just, you know, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, the day I went to the doctor, I'm like, I should have never asked how you were doing. I was thinking that to myself. And just while I'm trying to pick up coffee so I can keep my caffeine Joneses going, you know, a perfect little older man wants to discuss his labs he got, it, you know. And I'm just like, oh, man, I hope everything goes well for you, man. Keep you in my prayers. Don't know your name. Don't even want to ask your name, but I'll know when I say the prayer to the man I met at the food line that had his bad lab results. God, you know, please do it for him. Do what he need, you know. Because as, you know, we go through our Christian daily journey, we try to be as much as Christ as we can and connect to God the best way we can and be as Christ-like as we possibly can, even though no one is perfect. God knows I'm not. But I feel a lot of times when people share stuff with me, it's like, okay, well, you know, I can just do my portion. I don't know about a halo.
They see her halo. Well,
they just see, oh, she's a really nice black girl. She looks like she's hard as, you know, kind of good heart. She might have came from a good family. She got a clean clothes. You know? She ain't got on a muumuu and a bonnet. Yeah. She's sliding around in them slides, so she might be all right, you know. But we never know our purpose of meeting or being where we're at or whatever. So it's just, I guess it's important that when we're in somebody's life for whatever the purpose, time, whatever, I guess impact it the best way we can. Boom, boom. Now for you, Juan. I'm just
I'm a fan of isolation.
We know.
Actually. But I do.
Always goes against the grain.
I do understand. I mean, because I'm not a social person.
Yeah.
But I do get that. I've said this. I mean, I'm thankful that when I was going through what I was going through with my marriage, that y'all did not allow me to isolate.
It's against the rules, bro.
So that's I understand that, because when you are trying to fight stuff on your own, it gets difficult. And so to have people that can kind of offset negative thoughts and you know, hey, remind you, hey, you know, you got people that love you, blah 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 blah. Yeah. You know, you aren't this monster that you're writing yourself up to be in your head, you know,
because you didn't take out the trash.
So and, you know, there is good counsel in hopefully there's good counsel. I know, like I said, I can only speak for my circle and my situation. I know I was able to receive good counsel when I decided not to isolate. While personally, I prefer isolation, I do understand it is not always the best thing. Because, it can get dark in isolation.
Isolation is always dark. And I say it because anytime something is isolated, as you know, isolation means to be alone, be by yourself. When you're sitting there, you're just stewing and brewing, and that's never a good thing. It's never a good thing. Now, like I said, for a period of time, it's okay to process your thoughts. It's okay. You know, that's why even working in medical, when they say, oh, we're going to put such as on isolation, that means no one can go in there unless they're, you know, this, that, or third, and they put all the stipulations on or whatever. But isolation is meant for a short period of time. A short period of time, not days into weeks into months into one day somebody just falls off the planet. You're like, oh, have you seen a hermit? You know,
I'm a hermit.
You know, so that's why that's why it's important. You know, I always tell people, my heart goes out to people who don't have like friends and like a group of genuine, you know, people say, oh, I got friends, I got da-da-da-da. No, I mean genuine friends who legit care about you and don't just want to be there to hype you up at the party or just hype you up when you're doing good, but somebody to kind of help pick you up when you're going through your junk. And it don't have to be nothing necessarily bad, but it just has to be stuff that becomes overwhelming or becomes emotionally taxing or however, whatever word people want to use, or stresses them out or whatever, whatever. You don't just want the people that'll hype you up in those good times. You also want to have somebody or people you can call, like, hey, man, I'm just having a bad day. Oh, well, you know, I'm about to pass your house, because I will be passing somebody's house and I will stop through. And I'm like, well, what's your? Here, I am she. I am accountability on wheels. But, you know, facts. It's just good to make sure that everybody's okay. Because, like I tell anybody, the last thing you ever want to hear was somebody say, well, you know, I thought they were going through something, but I just left them alone. And then you never talk to that person again, because then you see on the news where, you know, they're no longer here to share what they could have shared with you if you would only took 2 to 10 minutes to just go and just do what you know felt right inside of yourself. Or, you know, just by hearing people on the phone, like, well, you sound down, you all right? Yeah, you know, I'm just going through something. Well, you want to talk about it? Nah, well, come on, let's just get out of the house then, because that's what I'm going to say.
Yes, you will.
And, you know, because...
Put some clothes on.
Wash your butt. Mm-hmm. Let's go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a point of getting out of what has became normal for a person, to take them out of the normal environment, to give them some fresh air and a different view of, you know, whatever life has dealt them at that point. But, you know, all that being said, I thought that was a good little... Yeah. Well, I do my best. I try. I try to do better in the new years. I'm trying to do better. But I think that's our last reel or whatever. Thank you guys for listening. This is our first edition of the new year. Hopefully next recording, the gang will all be back together. And we can share with you guys what we have. Again, thanks for the support. You can catch us on.
You can catch us on Instagram at 3SGPod, or you can go catch us anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can get us directly from our website, 3SGPod.gray, the number 8FAM.com. That's 3SGPod.gray8FAM.com.
Again, thank you guys for your support.
That sounded like a commercial.
It does sound like a commercial on it. Keep L Boogie, Larry Barnes and his family in your prayers. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely during this time, even beyond this time, because we get it. And if you've ever lost a mom or just a loved one, someone just close to you, I'm sure everybody can get it as well. But just definitely keep them in your thoughts and in their prayers. Thank you guys for your support.
Don't send chicken.
So stupid.
You said that. Oh,
goodness. Anyways, we love you guys. Thanks for the support. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.